preachers and other teachers that are interested in this podcast. Welcome to Preacher's Report this week today. I'm Carrie.
I'm Emmy.
And this week we're going to switch things up a little bit. We're just going to introduce the texts that are happening on Sunday and then get straight into the news. For one, because there are a ton of texts happening on Sunday. For two, we want to make sure that everyone who is preaching and teaching this week is included in the news stories, and that way we're not focusing on just one section of people. So, this Sunday, October 25th, 2015, is Reformation Sunday for Lutherans.
Yay!
which means that there is a whole new set of Sunday texts for if the Reformation, if you're celebrating that in text form, which are Psalm 46, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, Romans 9, or 3, 19 through 28, and John 8, 31 through 36. If you are not coordinating to the Reformation, we have Jeremiah 31, 7 through 9, or some sections of Job, Psalm 126 or Psalm 34, 1 through 8, Hebrews 23 through 28, and Mark 10, 46 through 52. And narrative lectionary, you guys are hanging out in Samuel with David dancing joyfully.
Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 5.
Yeah. With that, we will get into the news.
I think the most important thing that we have to cover is that we are now living in the future.
We are!
October 21st, 2015 is the date that Marty McFly travels to in Back to the Future Part 2, where he discovers hoverboards and self-lacing shoes and lots of other things.
Yes.
Sadly. Correctly, the Cubs win in Back to the Future 2.
Yes, when Marty McFly travels to the future, the Cubs have won the World Series. And while the Cubs got very close this year, sadly they are out and the Mets advance to the World Series. We are still unsure whether Kansas City or Toronto will join them there.
Correct. So some fantastic memes kind of floating around the internet in the Back to the Future collective. But probably the best thing was that there's a short video released by the doc, of course, where they recreated the scene of arriving in the future. And he pops out of the DeLorean and says, "If my calculations are correct, it is now precisely October 21st, 2015. The future has finally arrived. Yes, it is different than we all thought, but don't worry. This means your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is whatever you make it, so make it a good one."
Aww. It's so, like, uplifting and delightful.
I feel like that's just, like, your sermon could just be that.
Yeah.
Sunday. So if you're still scrambling for a topic, how are we going to make the future our own, and how do we live into a good future?
That's an excellent topic.
Mm-hmm.
And you could definitely quote the doc in that, I think.
Yeah. I think that could definitely tie into, if you are preaching on the Revised Common Lectionary gospel text with blind Bartimaeus, who calls out to Jesus and then is received by him and healed by him. That's definitely taking hold of your own future and claiming it and making it your own.
I also think that in the Reformation Sunday texts, the text in John talks about we are slaves to sin, but Jesus frees us. And so you can have a tie-in of that we are free to step into our future boldly and embrace what will happen because we know that we are free.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice job. Are you preaching tomorrow?
I am not.
Sunday? Whatever? Okay.
I am doing the children's message, though, so.
Oh, great. This will be perfect. None of them will get the references to Back to the Future, so it'll just be heartbreaking.
If they would have, I would have totally made, like, a cardboard DeLorean, but I don't think they'll understand.
All right, in the news this week, a couple of things that are more complicated and I had to sort of look up, so preachers and teachers and others, this is maybe helpful to you. Canada has a new prime minister,
Justin Trudeau,
but really the important thing is why was he elected at this time? The previous prime minister, Stephen Harper, was prime minister for 11 years. He's a member of the Conservative Party, so the Conservative Party has essentially been in power. There's this been interesting thing been happening in Canada where there's a new Liberal Party called the New Democrats,
mm-hmm.
and that's essentially been splitting the majority vote, which is Liberal in Canada, mm-hmm. Between the New Democrats and the Liberals. So that's how the Conservative Party has stayed in power as long as it has, despite the fact that Harper was against universal health care, which is sort of an untouchable subject in Canada, was interested in messing with Canada's version of Social Security, cut funding for women's and minority advocacy groups, and was running into a significant budget deficit, like a $56 million. Basically, he made a lot of choices that are fiscally and socially conservative, and the Canadians were not down with it. Harper administration was found to be in contempt of Canadian Parliament. I don't fully understand how the two interrelate, but essentially the administration wouldn't disclose information about really large budget items, and so they were found to be in contempt of Parliament, which causes a re-election, and this time Trudeau won, which was unexpected. He was not a front runner as of recently. So congratulations, Canada, on new prime minister.
I saw the John Oliver clip from his show Last Week Tonight, where he explains this very, very well and discusses, I think if I remember correctly from that, that this Justin Trudeau, his father was prime minister for a while, or at least very involved in politics, if I'm getting that he was prime minister wrong. And so it's a familiar name, although they're not sure that Justin is exactly the best political mind, but definitely better than Harper was. And the video is just hilarious in general as itself. So it's a good thing to look up and watch. John Oliver spends a lot of time at the end telling people not to vote for Harper, which is apparently against Canadian law. So he said, I'm willing to pay the $5,000 Canadian fine in order to say, do not vote for this man. So it's something good to check out.
Aside from being very, very conservative fiscally and socially, Harper is also generally unlikable. Like, mm-hmm. he's not good sort of socializing and baby kissing and doing all the political things. So, mm-hmm. Yes, goodbye, Mr. Harper. We wish you well.
Yeah.
From your southern neighbor.
Right.
Important cultural news. Some guy on a plane bit someone and died.
So the zombie apocalypse is clearly obviously happening.
The terrifying thing was I was in New York at this time, and I had, when this came out, and I had also just read Station 11, which is an awesome book by Emily St. John Mandel. Won lots of prizes, I think, last year when it was released. And it is about a traveling group of artists who perform Shakespeare and orchestral pieces after the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of the world comes out by, like, a massive flu. But basically, it's all about, like, when people were trapped in planes, and then one person had the flu, and then everybody had it, sort of, like, taking SARS to its extreme.
Right.
And so then I'm also hearing about the, like, oh, this guy on a flight bit somebody and then died. And I'm like, okay, and I feel a little anxious right now. I want to go back to Minnesota, where I'm pretty sure the zombie apocalypse will just freeze out.
It's true. Especially with winter coming, like, yeah. Zombies aren't going to survive that.
No, in World War Z, which was a great book, terrible movie, great book, covered the fact that a lot of people, after the zombie apocalypse, go north because zombies can't move around in the winter, and they just freeze.
So there you go.
Anyway, what actually happened is that this Brazilian man, John Kennedy Santos Gurjao, I think, was a drug mule, had ingested 80 wrapped pellets of cocaine, and one pellet in his system burst. The theory being he then bit someone because he was going essentially insane from having that much cocaine dumped into his system, and then he died from the cocaine overdose. Woman who was also on the flight, who was of Portuguese origin, was also arrested on suspicion of drug offense. They're not sure if she's connected to John Kennedy Santos Gurjao, and the white powder that she was carrying, as she alleged and as tests have confirmed, was baking soda.
Oh.
So, you know, sometimes truth is not stranger than fiction. Sometimes it is not a zombie apocalypse.
Right. Not to turn this into, you know, sadder things. But sadder things are happening, and I don't want to end on those notes. So,
good idea.
Yeah. One thing that just hit me this week hard was the fact that 5 more churches have been burned or torched in Ferguson, all within a very close 3 miles of each other. Obviously, there is an issue of race happening here. It just makes me personally outraged because to burn a place of worship, whether that is a church or a mosque or a synagogue or a temple or any place of worship, is just horrifying to me because people are coming there to learn more about themselves and who they are and what they believe in. that is not a place that should be unsafe for anyone, and is not a place that should be disrespected by other groups.
In a lot of ways, I mean, it goes back to early issues with slavery and the way that masters tried to control the faith expressions that their congregants had, that African-American slaves tried to express, you know, like, oh, this, look at all these stories about escaping slavery and that Jesus has made us for freedom. That's an interesting message, considering we were, you know, in some cases it was being passed on from the white colonizers, and in other cases it had been in Africa since early on, since the early Christian missionaries sent missionaries there as well. Mm-hmm. So lots of control happening in slavery times, and then also the attacks on places of worship that were predominantly or historically Black or African American. We saw a lot of this during the civil rights movement, probably best represented by the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963, when a church was bombed during Sunday morning worship and Sunday school, and four little girls were killed. Ugh. And so when we say that these are racial attacks, it's not just, oh, it's a Black church, I'm going to burn it down because I'm a racist. It's because it incites fear, it denies faith, it says, you know, you don't belong, your worship does not belong, you can't worship God, and I will take that away from you because I have power.
Right.
Sadly, in relation to that, yet another African-American man was shot this week by an officer under a situation that is not, as many have been, is not very clear. Corey Jones was returning from a Sunday church service, and his car stalled out. He was waiting for a tow truck by the side of the road, and a plainclothes officer, so not carrying his badge, not wearing any signifying clothing, in an unmarked van, stopped and approached him. We don't know what happened. We don't have a dash cam record or anything like that, but basically we know that the officer was in plainclothes, did not have his badge, was in an unmarked van, and now we know Jones was shot. I believe the gun was fired 6 times. 3 of those bullets killed Jones. He was about 80 to 100 feet from his car and appears to have been trying to run away. Jones did have a handgun with him, a legally purchased handgun. Early reports are saying that he did not use the handgun. The officer is alleging that an armed man charged him, and that's why he shot and killed him. A lot of people have pointed out, you know, if you're waiting for a tow truck in the middle of the night on the side of the road and an unmarked van pulls over, you're not exactly going to assume it's a cop.
Right.
So we just have another death of a Black man at the hands of an American police officer. The numbers just keep adding up, and it is horrifying as to what this is revealing about implicit racial bias in our system. So as we said last week, if you have not talked about issues of race and how to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement and our own racism and systematic and institutional racism, we need to be talking about this. These are our brothers and sisters and fellow children of God that are being shot. Mm-hmm. And we need to be honest about that and be talking about that with our congregations and equipping our people to understand what's happening and to be able to examine themselves and their own systems and be able to deal with it and live out the gospel message of inclusion and love for all.
Mm-hmm. In that same vein, unfortunately, another transgendered woman was killed in Maryland. I don't know how to pronounce her name, Zella Zoyna?
I think it's Zella Zoyna, yeah.
Okay. She was shot at a shopping mall and left there. Police arrested a 21-year-old Richter Hector LeBlond and charged him with first-degree murder. Apparently, or the police records say that LeBlond shot Zoyna multiple times because she embarrassed him by acting in a flamboyant manner toward him in front of his friends. And she is the 21st trans woman to be murdered in 2015 alone. This is another group of people that we need to reach out to. We need to be talking about this because transgendered people, like all other people, are also children of God and our brothers and sisters. For them to be so targeted by people is just awful, and we need to provide a safe space for them to come and be heard and be seen for who they are.
If you podcast listeners would like some more information on what it means to be transgender and what also transgender and Christian, what the intersection is of that gender identity and faith. We highly recommend Austin Hartke, who mm-hmm. is a growing voice in this movement and does videos on YouTube called Trans and Christian. And Austin is also a compatriot of ours who graduated seminary with me and I think overlapped with you, right, Carrie?
Maybe? Yep.
And you can find him at austinhartke.com. Austin spelled like Jane Austen. A-U-S-T-E-N-H-A-R-T-K-E. We'll also pop a link on the Facebook page. He's just a fantastic guy and has really been doing these incredible informational videos and is just a brilliant mind and a really compassionate heart. So if you're trying to learn more or if you have congregants who want to learn more, absolutely starting there is a great place to go.
Definitely.
We have this really fascinating and complex story that appeared in the New York Times this week under the title The Strange Case of Anna Stubblefield. Anna was working as the facilitated communicator with this young man named DJ. DJ was assigned IQ well below that of a child, so he's an adult but in age, but he can't communicate in any widely recognized way. He can't speak, he can't write, he can't perform sign language, he can't type, he can't control blink. So this new way of facilitating communication for highly autistic people or for people with extreme cases of cerebral palsy, for example, is called facilitated communication. And essentially, someone who has been trained in FC stabilizes the hand or the shoulder or the arm of the person needing the communication, and then that person can type. So this has been, this came out, I think they started using it in the 80s and 90s. Some people really thought, wow, facilitated communication is finally opening the minds of these people who were otherwise trapped. In some, there were some scientific studies where basically they could not substantiate the claims. It felt more like it was sort of a Ouija board control thing where like you think that you're not controlling it, but you are, or even that the facilitated communicator was actually controlling the other person's communications. The New York Times article on this is pretty extensive and very clear. Essentially, what happened with the case of Anna and DJ is that Anna claims, and DJ, using facilitated communication through Anna, agrees that they are in love, that they have fallen in love through the course of their doctor-patient, facilitator-communicator relationship, which is complicated enough. But then the two issues being Anna was married at this time, had a husband and kids, and that they have had sexual relations.
Oy.
And of course, if you've been declared mentally incompetent by the state and you have sex with someone and that other person is not considered mentally incompetent, that falls into the category of rape. So Anna has now been charged with 2 counts of first degree aggravated sexual assault because her claims that DJ is actually competent and just can't communicate were not considered valid by the, I believe, New Jersey judge and jury. Also, facilitated communication wasn't considered viable evidence, so he could not communicate in the courtroom. So it's this very complex issue about, you know, how do we understand when people can't communicate and yet something seems to be miraculously offering the ability to communicate? How do we understand that? How do we understand advances in science that are not quite substantiated? It's really hard for us to tell at this point. I think the New York Times does a pretty good job of summarizing and saying we really don't know for sure. But it's something that your people and your parishioners may be talking about this week. This is a complex moral issue, and how do we as Christians respond to it?
Turning to our own political atmosphere in America, a couple things happened this week. First of all, Joe Biden announced that he will not be running for president. To the dismay of the internet, there are some pretty great memes out there talking about this, and I think people are just like Joe Biden and want to see him around more. I think it's personally a great thing. He's been through quite a bit in these last few years, and even with the death of his son. Good for Joe Biden for saying, you know what, this is not the right time and I need to step away from this. So thank you, Joe, for all of that, the work that you have done. And we send you off into enjoying your life away from the White House.
It's a good practice of boundaries.
Yeah. The other political news that's happening in America is Hillary Clinton was grilled in a congregational hearing that lasted, I think, 11 hours about the whole Benghazi thing and her personal email thing. I didn't keep up too much on it just because, well, to be open and honest with you guys, I have family in town, so I was like, I don't want to spend time thinking about Hillary Clinton's hearing when I'm
good choice
out
of
with
boundaries,
family.
Carrie. We appreciate you. Thank you for following the steps of Joe Biden.
You know, I was also vice president of our student council. So Joe Biden and I have a lot in common. But basically, so Clinton was grilled on the details of the Benghazi attack and how she handled it, and then defended her use of her private email account while in office. And as one would expect, Republicans are pretty upset with her. And
this is the 8th investigation into the Benghazi issue and her use of her email account. So essentially what happened in Benghazi, Libya, in 2012, there were terrorist attacks that killed, in the end, 4 Americans. And Clinton was Secretary of State at the time, and so there has been significant investigation into. So could you have done more? The Republican-dominated House has basically said, yes, you could have, and we're going to really examine you hard. And of course, the fact that she's running for president makes them really want to discredit her as Secretary of State and therefore as potential presidential candidate.
Right.
She also used her private email account while she was in office to send work-related emails, and so there's a lot of questions of international and national security, and did she possibly break security protocol by using her personal email account, which is the reason that she's released a lot of her emails to be widely read by the public, essentially to say, like, I didn't release any information that was private and secure. I mean, on a personal level, I have sometimes sent emails from the wrong account as well, so I understand this.
Right.
But yeah, she's just been absolutely grilled by Republicans who directly said, we are going to examine you as hard as possible because you're running for president. To some degree, I think we're all a little tired of this. Like, we're kind of done with the email thing.
Yeah.
Hillary is definitely done with the email thing.
Yeah.
And defended herself, I think, reasonably well during the Benghazi hearings and was very assertive and pushed back a lot on the Republicans and basically said, I have sweat, blood, and tears over this, and I've had many sleepless nights. I didn't want 4 Americans to die. Stop harassing me about this.
Right. And I think, too, I think we're all sick of hearing about it. Mm-hmm. I think also, as we were talking about last week, it's another thing of us versus them and how polarizing our political parties are getting to the point that there is no working together, pretty much. And liberal and conservative parties are very, very separated from each other and attacking each other constantly. And it's both sides that are doing it. There's not one that's better than the other in this aspect, in my opinion. I think that's also something we need to look at as a society and see what's happening there and how we can work together better, because getting more and more separated is clearly not getting anything accomplished and not helping anyone.
So let's not do that anymore, shall we?
Yeah.
Speaking of more divisive political issues, a Texas judge has decided to allow Texas health officials to continue denying birth certificates to children born to undocumented immigrant parents. So essentially, this goes back to what fearmongers like to call anchor babies, where immigrants, legal or otherwise, will come to the United States and have children with the specific intent that the children being born in the United States are therefore American citizens and will therefore force the government to let their parents stay. Legally or illegally. Fun fact, it is actually difficult to enter the country legally, so including by marriage. It's not just illegal immigrants that are accused of doing this. Like, there's also a lot of, you know, when you immigrate legally but then overstay a visa or are just trying to get work or move to a different state, there are a lot of complications with the immigration system. But so essentially, these Texas health officials have been choosing to eliminate the possibility that that is what these undocumented immigrant parents are trying to do, is say, well, you can't have a birth certificate, which doesn't necessarily refute the child's citizenship, but certainly makes it a lot harder to prove.
Right.
I don't know how far up the legal chain that's going to go, but I have a good feeling that that's going to see a judicial appeal and that we're going to see continued issues around that. I don't know if it'll get to the national level. I mean, that's another huge divisive issue for us in politics right now, is what do we do with, depending on your choice of words, illegal aliens or undocumented immigrants? How do we handle that influx? It's a really complex issue, and I do think that we need to be able to at least create a safe space in our churches for undocumented immigrants to be able to talk about their experience and be honest about what it's been like before we condemn them. I don't think a lot of people just immigrate to this country willy-nilly. We saw the same thing with immigrants coming out of Syria. People don't leave unless there's a very, very good reason to leave. And I think wherever we may fall on the political issue at the end, we do need to be listening. We're saying this over and over again for all of the story, all the yeah. stories that we're telling today, like for Black Lives Matter, for transgender women of color, for undocumented immigrants and their children, like we need to listen to their stories. Condemning them from a removed place is in no way reflective of the Christian story.
Right. And it's very important to have a place where these people who are condemned in society, to be quite honest, can come and just be seen and be heard and have an identity. And that's something that the church can provide. It can be a place where you can come and be a part of a community.
Absolutely.
Yay, church.
Yay, church.
Okay, let's get to some, like, happy things.
Yes.
So, feel-good story of the week. There was a couple that was going to be married in Sacramento, California, and the husband-to-be called off the wedding. So the parents of the bride, rather than losing money or trying to eat a bunch of food themselves, turned the wedding dinner into a night out for the homeless. Aww. So about 120 people had RSVP'd to the original wedding, and so those experiencing homelessness in Sacramento were invited instead and got to eat and be merry, which is just wonderful.
There were a couple of, like, local news stations in Sacramento who were carrying interviews with people.
Oh.
Those experiencing homelessness, and it was just beautiful. And reminded me very much of that whole, like, when you have a banquet, do not invite your friends.
Right.
So yeah, we don't know the story, and I'm sure, you know, whoever the husband-to-be is probably now, like, being just vilified by his friends and family, because his ex-fiancé's parents are clearly awesome.
I would definitely want to marry into that family. I'm just saying.
I mean, I think, you know, there could be good. There could be a good reason that we don't know about.
Yeah, there is
And that it's just we're only getting, like, the one side. but I think no matter what, it's a beautiful story.
Definitely.
And I think we should celebrate the fact that they were able to turn a tragedy into something that could bless a lot of people who wouldn't normally get it. And that's wonderful. We didn't have a lot of sports news this week, except for the Cubs did not win, which is just sad. But apparently, this makes national news and needs debate on ESPN, my friends. During Monday Night Football, cameras and microphones were focused on Mike Ditka, coach of Chicago Bears. So he shifted in his chair at the same time that a fart noise was picked up on the microphone. So then we had to spend many, many minutes discussing the fact that Mike Ditka farted during Monday Night Football.
Yay news.
So you know what? If you've got teenagers or anybody who follows football in your congregation and has a slightly warped sense of humor, they may bring this up.
All right. There are a ton of exciting entertainment news happening. So just, yeah. First of all, we just have to say that the new Star Wars trailer is out, and it is awesome.
It's so awesome.
And I got, when, like, Han Solo says, it's true, it all happened, I was like, oh! I am so freaking excited.
I know. And everybody was there. I even saw R2. Okay, there were some critiques of the trailer that we did not see Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
I think this is foolish. I think he's clearly in the cloak petting R2.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
we don't know who that is. Pretty sure it's Mark Hamill under there.
Yeah. I mean, like, settle down. Yeah. Like, we don't need Luke.
We need to know everything before we know everything, Harry.
Right.
But no spoilers.
But we need to know everything that will happen.
Right.
So we can critique it, but don't spoil it for me.
Yep, exactly.
Also, books. There are a lot of books out.
So many great books out.
Three memoirs are out that I'm just curious about, and it's news to me. So it's going to be news to you.
Done.
Yeah. So first of all, Elvis Costello, his book is called Unfaithful Music and Disappearing Ink. So his memoir is out, which I'm excited to read. Also, and Elvis Costello, musician. Also on the list is Travis Barker, whose memoir came out called Can I Say? He is the drummer for the band Blink-182. Has had a pretty tumultuous life. He's the drummer, if you've seen a drummer just covered in tattoos, it's probably Travis Barker. But 5 to 10 years ago, he was in a horrific plane crash that a few fellow passengers were killed in. He miraculously ended up surviving with one other passenger that survived, and the other passenger that survived committed suicide a few years later. So that should be a pretty interesting read as well. And third, the YouTuber Tyler Oakley has come out with his book, Binge. which he claims that even if you've seen every single one of his YouTube videos, or you will be surprised with what is in the book, that he has saved parts of his life that he has never shared before for the book. Tyler Oakley has been a very influential YouTuber. He works very hard with the Trevor Project and has raised a lot of money for that organization and has won multiple awards from them. I'm interested to see that and learn more about his life.
Also in new books this week is the Welcome to Night Vale novel, which is based on the very popular, very weird podcast, Welcome to Night Vale, which I mentioned last week because I'm a giant fan. I don't know if the book will make sense if you haven't listened to the podcast, but basically they summarize it as it's a small town in the American Southwest, where all of the conspiracy theories are true. And it is hilarious and delightful and creepy, and I am actually wearing my Night Vale tank top and my Star Wars yoga pants. So really, I was ready for today.
I am wearing Harry Potter pajama pants right now. I'm glad that we both dressed for the occasion.
Long distance high five, Carrie.
Yay! Also, speaking of Harry Potter pants, J.K. Rowling has a new book coming out under the pseudonym Robert Galbraith. It is called Career of Evil. She previously wrote under Robert Galbraith with Cuckoo's Calling.
Casual Vacancy, was that also Robert Galbraith or was that someone else?
Casual Vacancy was, she wrote under J.K. Rowling for that one.
Have you read Cuckoo's Clock or Casual Vacancy?
I started a Casual Vacancy, but it was in September of a year that I was in school, so it quickly went to the bottom of the pile and I have not returned. I've heard that it's slow at the beginning, but it gets really good by the end. And I believe now it's a mini-series on the BBC.
Ooh.
And Cuckoo's Calling I read during when I was in CPE. And it was super good. I really liked it. Kind of like a murder mystery sort of deal going on there.
Big news in other mini-series or series is Netflix has confirmed that Gilmore Girls is going to be renewed, or at least get a limited revival. They have not exactly given out perfect details for what's going to happen, but your favorite mother and daughter duo will return to the screen, and you can have a more satisfying ending to the original story and have some additional content created. I am not a Gilmore Girls fan, so I just know that this is I just never got into the show, but I hear really great things.
Yeah, I have never watched, I think I've caught like 2 or 3 episodes when it was on TV originally. My best friend is very, very, very excited about Gilmore Girls getting renewed.
Hi, Evan. So,
and Robert. So for them, yay. And I am very excited for you guys and enjoy, and maybe I'll start watching the series and join in your excitement.
Yes. So, preacher and teacher fans, this is a great time to start working Gilmore Girls references into your sermons and lessons because people will be rewatching the series.
Yes.
Adele dropped a new single. She previewed it with like a 30-second demo earlier this week and then has dropped the video, I think, as of yesterday on her website. And it is gorgeous. And she is phenomenal. It is another sort of traditional Adele song where she's just got the most beautiful voice in the entire world. And it's about heartbreak and loss and broken relationships. So the video is amazing. The song is amazing. Everybody is super excited for pre-orders right now. Her album comes out fully in November. And it should be amazing. It's going to be called 25, kind of in the vein of Adele numbered albums. That's great. I love Adele, and I think she's amazing and beautiful, and she produces incredible music, so might be a good time to start thinking about then talking about heartbreak in your congregations and grief, and how do you move past the sort of Adele stage where you just want to sit in the cold shower and cry over your heartbreak, and then how do you move past that and get to a rebuilding and a restoration, both right. in the biblical text and in your own life.
Other music news is that Panic at the Disco released a new video and song. The new song is called The Emperor's New Clothes. And as far as I understand it, if I'm getting what they're trying to say correctly, they came out with an album last year called Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die. And one of their singles was called This is Gospel. And it's a song that talks about actually brokenheartedness. So it says, this is gospel for the brokenhearted and for the broken ones and the ones that are in permanent slumber, and talking about kind of like disenfranchised members. And it's called This is Gospel. So you can use it in a sermon, I'm sure. And the video for Emperor's New Clothes begins with where the video for This is Gospel ended.
Ooh.
And plays a little bit of that, and then it goes into Emperor's New Clothes, and it gets creepy fast, and Brendan Urie transforms into like a devil-type figure. So I'm not exactly sure what they're trying to say, but check it out. interpret for yourself, but warning, it's terrifying because I was very scared when I was watching it today. So yeah, so maybe I haven't watched it enough to have a beautiful wraparound such as Emmy had earlier, but I think it's something to look into, and it might be a commentary on the church or culture itself. So check it out.
That is all the news that we have for you this week, preachers, teachers, and other leaders in the church. We hope that you are finding this podcast helpful, and that as you prepare for October 25th, that you are feeling a little more equipped for whatever weird questions may come your way on Sunday in re what is happening in the news and culture this week. You can find us on Facebook. You can follow us on Podomatic and on iTunes. And you can also probably harass us on Twitter because we're both on Twitter. Carrie is Carrie Chameleon. I am Emmy Kegler. And we are very happy to be with you this week. And we will talk to you again next week.
Bye!